fart.
You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard there, Umaluda by J.J. Jackson. Coming up on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with SNFU, and in a bit later on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with MIA. From England via Sri Lanka. Right now, to prepare for SNFU, we're going to play a song by the Hot Nasties, who have been referenced a couple times on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, most recently specifically when Greg Diamond was on from Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Actually, I think I might even mentioned the Hot Nasties last week as well. Boy, I'm mentioning them every week, so I thought I would play the Hot Nasties. What's the deal on the Hot Nasties? They feature Warren Kinsella, who later went on to write speeches for, well, John Cretchen. So a bit of punk political connections. And I think we mentioned that because last week on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, I played The Fringe, Chuck Cadman's garage band from 1965-1966. But this right now is the band The Hot Nasties from Calgary, Alberta, not to be confused with Edmonton, Alberta, home of SNFU, and coming up on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show right after The Hot Nasties, an interview with SNFU, and then an interview with MIA.
I know why I don't give up. I'll never
never dies. Beth and Guy will be on next week. There are things that are inside my head. Things I don't know. Things that best instead. Cause I am my one and only weakness. I know that my God is not a white wafer. They must have forgot. And I'm not really, so I won't repeat. This is a secret of immortality. This is the secret of immortality. This is the secret of immortality. Never see. Life isn't an almond Rockwell painted. No one likes that. I don't care. I won't die. Dying's nowhere. They started to reflect the night they were born. Did you know that the grass is blue? The sky is green. They lie to you. This is the secret of immortality. Immortality.
you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, and you just heard the Hot Nasties there with Invasion of the Tribbles. And before that, some SNFU, and before that, some Hot Nasties. The Hot Nasties from Calgary, Alberta. SNFU from Edmonton, Alberta. The Hot Nasties from Calgary, Alberta. And coming up, as we wait for Chai Pig or SNFU to phone in to the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, we are going to play another SNFU connected disc. This is a song by the Malibu Kens, who later evolved into Junior Gone Wild and Chai Pig of SNFU, did the cover art for the first Malibu Kens 7-incher. Malibu Kens, of course, were also from Edmonton, Alberta. This is from a compilation called It Came from Inner Space from 1983 on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show.
Thank you.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And we're still waiting to connect with SNFU for an interview with SNFU to ask Chai Pig all about the Malibu Kens, who we just played there. From the It Came From Inner Space compilation from 1983. Chai Pig didn't do the cover art for that, but he did do the cover art for the Malibu Kens 7-incher. Now, SNFU, it kind of makes you think, well, maybe skate rock. And skate rock kind of makes you think about, well, Dead Kennedys. Maybe, I don't know. Well, they have the Skateboard Party Live LP. And when I think of Dead Kennedys, I don't know, I think of, well, Jello Biafra. And I think of Jello's favorite bands, which I think he released on his record label, M.I.A. M.I.A. was a hardcore band, maybe from Vegas. I'm pretty sure they were from Las Vegas. Anyways, now in the 21st century, there is a rocker from Sri Lanka called M.I.A. Maya. So right now, while we wait for SNFU, here's an interview with the 21st century version of M.I.A. M.I.A. Maya from Sri Lanka. And then hopefully after that, an interview with SNFU, who are playing, by the way, tomorrow night at Seelin Hall. It's going to be SNFU, The Doers, The Winks, and You Say Party, We Say Die at Seelin Hall in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's an all-ages gig at 7 p.m. starting. But here's M.I.A. 21st century version from Sri Lanka.
Who are you?
Whatever you want me to be.
You are M.I.A.
That's right, but I'm here now.
Maya, have you brought along Mama's t-shirt?
No. My friends were like, get rid of it, get something new, you know. But I was trying to get a point across,
What is the deal on the Bahamas t-shirt? Because M.I.A. is usually in a Bahamas t-shirt, right? Always on tour?
You read that somewhere, didn't you?
Yes, you always bring it along with you.
Yeah, I had to leave it behind because it, like, shredded. I had it surgically removed, and, it shredded into little pieces. So I turned it into hairbands, and then it disappeared.
So, M.I.A., here you are in North America, and I understand you had a stinging performance at Coachella.
Yeah, it was intense.
Like, literally stinging. Weren't there bees that came into the tent?
What do you mean by that?
I heard that there were actual bees that came into the tent, or where you were performing at Coachella, and people ran out. Like, there actually were bees that came in there.
No.
No?
You're talking about my cell phone.
Yes, you.
I've got a cell phone with a bee ring that gets buzzed like that.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe that's what was ringing and people thought it was bees. It does that all the time. Yesterday I was at Napster and people started running out of the building because my phone was ringing. It's like,
so you frightened people at Coachella. They ran away from you because of the bee noise.
They all ran into the tent where I was there, you know.
But otherwise it went just great, didn't it?
Yes.
Well, actually, apparently they ran out of the tent. That was the report.
No, the tent where I left my phone was my backstage tent, the VIP tent. But who wants to be there anyways? You know, get them all out.
Maya, growing up, how many scabs did you have?
A lot.
Like, where were they, and why did they happen, and are there any scars left?
Obviously, that's what I'm trying to get out on my music, you know? Every single scar is described in every single song.
And Maya, is it true that you listened to Boney M. straight for 5 years?
Yeah, of course. What do you do when you're poor? Shit, no one's checking for you. No one's building any HMVs and Virgin megastores in villages that I came from. You know what I mean? You just have to bootleg, but with cassettes. We don't have the internet and stuff.
What particular Boney M. song did you really enjoy? I love Ra Ra Rasputin.
One Way Ticket.
Not Ra Ra Rasputin?
Mm-mm.
Do you know Ra Ra Rasputin?
Mm-mm.
You don't know that one by Boney M.?
No, I only had one tape, I told
you. You'd think that would at least be on there, you know, Ra Ra Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine.
No, it was like, brown girl in the wind, da la 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 la, that one.
Well, I guess I was wondering because, you know, you're kind of Commonwealth. Sri Lanka is Commonwealth and Canada is Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to other people about Boney M., and they don't know about Ra-Ra Rasputin either. I guess maybe Ra-Ra Rasputin basically was just a Canadian hit.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I think in Europe it went down differently, you know. But in Sri Lanka, definitely, it was more like a... Bye-bye, baby. One-way ticket, I remember. And, yeah, it's really hard for me to remember now.
Even though you had it drilled into your brain for 5 years.
Yeah, of course.
But this is what somebody looks like that's had Boney M. for 5 years, right?
Well, look, I was 0 to 5. Do you know what I mean? You're putting a lot of pressure on a 5-year-old. Well,
formative years.
To take Boney M., you know what I mean?
Maya, if people are learning about Sri Lankan music and Western influence, Duran Duran, didn't they shoot Hungry Like the Wolf in Sri Lanka?
They did. That's Sri Lanka's claim to fame in popular culture.
That's the big thing, the Duran Duran?
Yeah.
Do you know where that was shot?
Thanks for that. Thanks for giving us, like, some credit on one video in pop music.
But you're returning the favor, though.
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm here.
No, I meant, like, for your videos that you've shot. Didn't you shoot a video in Sri Lanka, too?
No, I'm trying to do it in England to return the favor.
So it's only been Duran Duran so far. Nobody else?
No. No. I haven't shot one in Sri Lanka. I'd get shot if I went to shoot a video there. So, you know, there's no such thing as a production company you can employ to do something. So,
MIA, when you moved to England, is it true that you... And there's a lot of is it trues with MIA. Is it true that you only knew a few words and one of them was Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
What were the 5 words that you knew in English when you moved to England?
Well, it was Michael Jackson, dancing, apple, because there's no word in Tamil for apple, so you had to learn it. And then I knew...
Mango?
Yeah, mango.
So you had these 5 words all set up, ready to go, but your mom had a bit harder time, didn't she? She didn't have 5 words, did she?
Well, yeah, she didn't think it was important.
But you teach her a new word every year. Is it true that your mom learns a new word every year?
I taught her banana. That's why I wrote it.
And in last year she learned lesbian?
God, you've been reading so much stuff. Yeah, it's true. This year it's been underworld, which is kind of underground, but she got it wrong. So she's like, oh, Maya, I heard you are underworld. What is that? And then I had to explain it was underground music, you know, and how it was all right. It didn't have any connection to the mafioso. Yeah.
How about yourself, though, Maya? How have you been doing? Have you been able to comb your hair recently?
No, can't you tell?
No, it looks really good.
It's the only way I can rebel against all the American good teeth, good hair thing.
Well, wasn't there a period that you went through where you didn't comb your hair for like months because you were serious? You were working on the record and there was no combing.
No, that was brushing my teeth.
I thought there was no combing.
No.
Not brushing your teeth, that's stupid.
I haven't combed my hair for years. Like, it's not even like months. Like, even music is just... Not my hair thing is like... It is what it is, you know. It does what it does.
And Maya, people criticize you for your hair?
Yeah, some people do. Some
your
people
bad perm. Your mom disowned you for your perm?
Where did you get that from? That's not true.
I heard that your mom disowned you because you had a bad perm and everybody made fun of you, your perm. Like your mom won't even talk to you.
No, that's my clothes. My perm. I didn't really have a perm. This is just... It's just unruly hair.
Well, MIA, you're a great dancer, but I understand you were forced to dance by your relatives. Like, you were forced into dancing. Is that true?
You know, people had to get their entertainment somehow in Sri Lanka. We didn't have a telly, we didn't have a video. We had one tape, the Boney M. tape. And your use for that tape, it has to kind of progress, you know? You have to add new things to the mix. So, yeah, we had a tape, and we found a tape recorder to play it on, then add the kid, and then make it dance, and then that was entertainment.
You were the entertainment.
Of course.
You'd be sleeping and woken up in the middle of the night to dance for the uncles.
cold water. Get your ass up! It was like that. Then they used to just make me dance for about 4 hours straight. I was, you know, crying, tears running down, but entertainment.
But it totally paid off in the long run. Like, you were the best dancer. I love it. It is awesome.
Good. I'm glad.
And you've also employed your relatives as well. Because you ventured to California to your cousin's ranch, didn't you?
What? How do you know that?
Your cousins that lived in California.
Yeah. Well, I left Sri Lanka and settled in England. They left Sri Lanka and settled in California. But, yeah, it's an interesting difference between growing up in England and my cousins growing up in California. But
and you moved to England.
They all think they're Mexicans. It's really funny.
Well, that's what I thought was really interesting. They're living in North America, and you go to visit them, and then you bump into Dr. Dre and Eddie Murphy. Like, you partied with Dr. Dre and Eddie Murphy pre-kind of MIA fame, right?
Well, I think when you go to hang out and you're like an 18-year-old in California, you meet a lot of people, you know. And it's not really Eddie Murphy, but yeah, I met Snoop and Dre and them. It's nice to come back and be able to work with people.
Yeah, it's kind of wild because now you've signed to Interscope, which is like home of Snoop and Dre.
I know.
Do you think you're going to be able to work with them at all?
Maybe. I mean, that's the interesting lesson for me, you know what I mean? Like, you can actually determine when I was going out to all the clubs, and when you're, like, getting invited to all these places, it didn't really count for me because I was like, it's not really, I mean, partying is partying, I love it, and I make party music now, but it'd be nice to enter a room and be counted as an equal, and, you know, be a woman who didn't have to compromise and, you know, sell yourself on your sexuality and things like that. So, to me, like, it'd be amazing to work with Dr. Dre and stuff, you know, to come back, like, 8 years later and be counted. It's good.
How would they remember you, MIA, from the old days, from your time in California? How would Snoop and Dre remember you?
They won't. That's what's good about it.
I think it's awesome. Like, you're such a go-getter, MIA.
Not really a go-getter.
Yeah, you are. Like, you don't even mean to hook up with Snoop and Dr. Dre, and then you end up hooking up with...
I can't tell you. I'm hooking up with someone else, but I'm not going to tell anyone yet. But, you know, I think it's really good to get opportunities, man. From, I think, when you come across to America and you're from, obviously, from a different culture and a different part of the world and da-da-da-da, it's nice to have the same opportunities as, you know, the musicians from America. It's nice.
Well, you have to have drive, and you, MIA, have drive. When your mom was doing knitting for Prince Charles, you were trying to slip notes to Prince Charles?
She made medals. Yeah, she wasn't knitting. It's not cool.
But still, Prince Charles' jacket is at your house, and you're slipping notes into Prince Charles' jacket to get to Prince Charles. That's awesome.
Why not? You know, he's there, really bored at the Royal Convention. He puts his hand in the pocket. He gets a note out. And it's direct communication, you know, it was like 1 degree of separation between me, my mum, and Prince Charles. It was like, of course you have to try, like, what that means, you know. I could have written anything as, like, you know, a joke, trying to, you know, send a note to the Prince of Oman or something like that. It was just fun.
And you seized on the opportunity. For instance, many people know this song, Common People. She studied sculpture at St.
Martian's College.
At St. Martian's College. You wanted to go there, and by God, you...
went.
Yeah, you just kept going and going and going, and eventually they let you in.
Yeah, I emotionally blackmailed them.
Yeah, in the same way, kind of put the secret notes to Prince Charles, you blackmailed him into taking you.
Not really. It's just like, what is the point of having an art institution that was about, you know, breaking down conventions and stereotypes and questioning the world and turning it upside down when every goddamn student applied and followed the rules that were set out, you know, by the institute to get in. Like, what is the point? Of course someone has to do it the other way around and come in through the side door, the back door, and every goddamn door. That's how you're going to churn out artists who actually are relevant, who are going to change things. You know, that's my point with the institution. It's like, yeah, okay, so you've chosen 100 people for this year on your course, but each and every one of them did apply 6 times and did turn up to the interviews, did have all the qualifications they asked for. Nobody thought that, you know. So how do you get these people to go out in the world and fight for things and change things? Doesn't make sense.
I just love it. You took advantage of the situation, Prince Charles's jacket, St. Martin's College, you just go for it. And is that where you met Peaches? Was Peaches taking a course at St. Martin's?
No, that's the journalist getting it all wrong all the time.
I want to think that Peaches was taking a course at St. Martin's. I want to think that.
I think she's too cool for that.
Because knowledge is cool, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think Peaches had her time, and besides, she's a little bit older than me. I don't know, I think Peaches was in a band, an indie band for a long time and stuff. But yeah, it's funny how journalists always assume that Peaches ended at St. Martin's when...
I want to think that.
I don't think she's ever been in England, you know.
Peaches, well, she's done quite a few tours in England.
Yeah, I know, but tours, once she became a musician, but... When she was a musician, she wouldn't be studying at St. Martin's.
I think she started out as like a high school teacher, so she does have some sort of university background, I'm pretty sure of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, but I'm sure it's Canadian education.
MIA, how tough is South London? How tough is South London? A friend of mine was there, and they saw all these like yellow signs on the streets, and it was really scary, all the stuff that was on these yellow signs.
What do you mean?
Like the scary things on the signs, like that you'd never see in North America. Like, it's a pretty tough place, South London, isn't it?
I'm trying to picture what you mean, yellow signs. Are you talking about murder signs? Well, it depends, you know. I think South London's divided into lots of different communities and different colour-coded communities. Like you said, you find yellow signs intimidating, but that's just... what it is. It's everywhere, all over the world. But
well, not really here, because like here you're like walking your dog and it says something like garage sale. You're like, yeah. But in England, I guess my friend was there and saw all those signs that had like murder and stuff, and it scared her slightly. She survived though.
That's good. That's not the stuff that scares me.
What scares you, MIA?
Just people not being given opportunities, being able to break through the invisible sly wall that I think holds a lot of people down, and a lack of change, you know, and a lot of people's inability to change. I think that scares me a lot more.
MIA, some people are afraid of Sri Lankan politics, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
But then you have an easy solution for that. Color pink. How does the color pink make everything just fine?
You tell me, you know. That's what I had to do to communicate, and here I am. So you tell me how color pink works for you, you know.
I'm not sure, but the color pink hooked Jude Law in. How did that all work, though? Could you explain a bit about the color pink and MIA, Maya?
I think what they were trying to tell you is, If you make your work more palatable by dressing it up in language that, you know, contemporary language that the youth are used to, everything becomes more easy to digest, you know. I think we're so addicted and led by the media, the fashion, the... you know, the bling, and just nobody really wants to deal with anything serious, so you have to find ways to bring in serious issues into the disposable popular culture. And, you know, you kind of have to play at their game using their tools, and that's kind of what I think I was trying to do. And it was a really interesting lesson for me to learn, because it's got me this far.
And specifically, you had a whole bunch of cool images from Sri Lanka, and nobody really wanted anything to do with them, and you added some pink and sold them all.
Well, I don't think it was like a real cool bunch of images. It was stories and issues that were really relevant to me, and I think it was relevant to a lot of people at the time, but nobody really wanted to deal with it. So, yeah, you have to find ways around stuff. Otherwise, there's no point.
I love info, MIA. I love info.
Good.
And you do too, don't you?
I do.
Like when you listen to a song, it's fun to learn something from a song, isn't it?
It is, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. And one of the artists you've been digging lately is Ai Wein, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's kind of unique, isn't he?
He is.
Because he's talking kind of in the dance hall thing, but he's also throwing like messages of like AIDS and stuff like that in there, which is kind of like a big slap for maybe people aren't expecting that, aren't they? Is that kind of what you're doing?
Not really. I think Ai Wein comes from a real, you know, he's got a philosophy that comes from the whole Rastafari tradition. I don't really have that, you know. So what Ai Wein is doing is directly in connection to whatever the teachings of the Rastafari culture, but I think it's just interesting that he's just really modern with it. You know, he can communicate to someone like me with what he's doing, which is really great. You know, sometimes reggae, it becomes so much about, you know, what the teachings are, that you know, you really have to be within it to understand it. But Ai Wein kind of transcends that, which is good.
MIA, how much do you want to break through? MIA, music for nursing homes.
Well, when you get told that being cool is saying, you know, fuck you to radio and fuck you to television, which is kind of good if you're a white middle-class rock band. And I think being cool is so determined by them that someone like me coming up, to me being cool is the opposite, which is no, I want to be on, you know, GLR or BBC Radio 2, you know what I mean? Because that's something, that's territory that I'll never make it into.
How about the stuff you tackle in your mixtapes here? Just winding up, you rap over some 2 Live Crew.
Yeah, I do that in my live set too.
What do you think about 2 Live Crew?
I think their beats are really good. Obviously, I like the Peaches. I recognize a lot of her beats and 2 Live Crew influences and stuff. I think beat-wise and Miami bass-wise, they contributed a lot.
MIA, what about the MC505? Who else is using that these days in the rap world? Not too many people, right?
No. I thought everyone would be using it, but I haven't heard about it yet. Nobody wants to mess with the little groove box, you know, and people are like, and then I'm getting the Super 6 studio with the, but we'll see.
But then Jimmy Iovine from Interscope, he heard your beats and said, they're worth millions!
Well, he was just impressed how you can make a little go a long way.
This from the MC505, like none of these other guys even try it, do they?
Well, yeah, you should know. Aren't you? Haven't you got your ears open listening to who's using this kind of stuff?
I don't really know of anybody else that's using it. Maybe Peaches has used a bit of it. But I don't think really too many people have in the contemporary like rap world out there to MC505.
When I met Peaches, she told me she got given hers free by the people, Roland. And then they gave it to like 20 different artists, including the Beastie Boys and Air and people like that. And nobody really bothered with it. I think a lot of people just leave it in the corner of their studio collecting dust. If there's any around, please send it to me. Mine's broken.
MIA, just winding up here lastly, do you remember the artist known as Sir Mixa? Lot. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, what about him?
Of course he has his big hit, Baby Got. Baby Got Back.
Yeah, why are we talking about Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Because there's a connection between Sir Mix-a-Lot and MIA.
What is it?
Well, he also has a song called Beepers.
Oh, okay.
And you know where I'm going with this? Because you have a song all about text.
Messaging.
So what I was wondering is, when you listen back to Sir Mix-a-Lot, you hear him going, beepers, beepers. Do you ever worry about any of your songs becoming dated? You know, text messaging in 10 years from now might be totally out of date.
Is that really what it's about? I mean, I don't know how artists can strive to...
But I mean, the thing is kind of neat, though, looking at Sir Mix-a-Lot, he's got the song, beepers, you know, beepers, you know, having a beeper, that was where it's at, you know what I mean? So now text messaging, even though maybe that's not specifically what the song is about, but still, you know, I mean, mentioning that technology, I think is kind of cool.
I think it's probably, well, if you're going to talk about it in that sense, beepers never really made it across to England. We have no relevance for pages and beepers whatsoever, so that song wasn't really a big hit. That's, you know what I mean?
Which makes me so sad.
But text messaging, however, you know, I think in the time when Americans were having beepers, British, like, five-year-olds were running around with cell phones texting each other, so... For me, it's more relevant in Britain talking about text messaging. But yeah, I don't really write songs to stick around in 10 years' time. You know, I'm kind of more about now and being in the time and what's going on right now.
What was it like meeting Jay-Z?
Well, I went into Def Jam, but I'm with Interscope now.
But, I mean, what was it like meeting him? Like, did you have any questions for him or anything? Like, of course, you slipped the notes of Prince Charles' jacket. Did you try to get any messages through to Jay-Z at all?
I actually, no. I walked out of Def Jam because I didn't understand why I was there. So, yeah.
You didn't even get a chance to meet him or anything? Like, you didn't say any words to him?
No, I met L.A. Reid.
Yeah. The guy behind Avril Lavigne.
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah. I was too scruffy to be in there. That's how I felt. I was like, But yeah.
And what did L.A. Reid do?
He met me, we talked, you know. It's just, of course you're going to meet people, that's what happens. But yeah, I think everybody was really confused because it's such a new sound and what was going on. And they kind of phoned me up so many times. I was like, okay, I'll come down and meet people. But I couldn't really figure out, I mean, this is before I signed with Interscope and met any of them and really knew what was going on. So it was like my first trip to New York, and yeah, it was interesting. It's interesting that the hip-hop world's that open-minded, that, you know, they're willing to take risks and talk to me, and yeah, that's kind of cool, work with me.
Well, am I, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
I don't really know what to say right now. It's kind of, I mean, in Canada, they're just already too cool. There's nothing I need to say to them.
Why should people care about MIA?
Because it's the truth.
Well, thanks so much, MIA. Keep on rocking in the free world and doo-doo-da-loo-doo.
Doo-doo.
I got the bitch to make it back. Oh. This is Sounds Eclectic from PRI. I'm Nick Harcourt, your host, and this is a live in-studio performance by MIA. Sounds Eclectic and a live performance recorded in studio by MIA.
Thank you. that milking probably goes back as long as the domestication of cattle, so say 10,000 years.
And as MIA ends abruptly on a Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show, you can hear the BBC World Service in the background. That was MIA live on KCRW Sounds Eclectic. And before that, an interview with MIA from Sri Lanka, not to be confused with the hardcore band MIA. And in my attempt to hook up with Chai Pig, I have found out that Chai Pig is phoning the wrong number, but Chai Pig is at a telephone payphone and doesn't realize that he's phoning the wrong number, and I have no way to get a hold of Chai Pig. So it may be that we only get a chance to speak to Chai Pig next week. But Chai Pig, if you're listening right now, the phone number for CITR, if anybody sees Chai Pig on the streets before 5 p.m. today, please tell him to phone CITR. And the number of CITR is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. How can you forget that? UBC-CITR, area code 604. So unfortunately, Chai Pig is at a payphone phoning the wrong number. How do I know he's phoning the wrong number? I checked my home number and he is leaving messages there. Well, I'm not at home right now, Chai Pig. I'm at CITR Radio, so please, if you could phone 604-822-2487 at 604-UBC-CITR in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And if we don't connect up with Chai Pig this week, we're going to try to hook up with him either next week or in subsequent weeks on an Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, because we want to find out about the hot nasties Warren Kinsella, who went on to write speeches for John Cruickshank. We want to find out about his artwork and how he did the artwork for the Malibu Kens featuring the guys from Junior Gone Wild. We want to learn more about the Better Youth Organization from Edmonton, as started by the Stern Brothers. But to end the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show here today, I thought I would play a bit more MIA from her CD. We were hearing a live session that she did a little while back before she played the Coachella Festival. But here are some more selections from MIA's CD on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. That was a live set, actually, mixed by Diplo, who's in town for the Jazz Fest very soon. That's MIA's DJ Diplo. Go check him out.
Quieting down, I need to make a sound. New York, quieting down, I need to make a sound. Kingston, quieting down, I need to make a sound. Brazil, quieting down, I need to make a sound.
Thank you.
You're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And who do we have on the line right now? Hello, are you there? Hello, are you... Hold on. Hello, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, hello, how are you?
I am pretty good. How about you?
Who are you? Please, who are you?
I'm Mr. Chad Pig, and I come from nowhere.
But you found CITR. Thank you for finding CITR, Chai Pig. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
You've been trying for an hour at the wrong number, but finally, we got a hold of you.
Yeah, it was meant to be. You know how it is.
And, Chai Pig, you're playing tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at Sealand Hall, SNFU, a North fan.
Yes, at the Sealand Hall and at 10 o'clock.
Have you played North Van before at all?
We have once or twice at the Weenie Fest. I think it was the Big Weenie Fest.
Tomorrow night, SNFU, the Doers, the Winks, you say party, we say die, and SNFU featuring Chai Pig, who we're speaking to right now. And right before you, Chai Pig, while we were waiting for Chai Pig, we played some MIA. Now, this is MIA, the 21st century version, not the hardcore band MIA. Did you ever play any gigs with the hardcore band MIA?
Yes, we played at the Spartans Men's Club back in the 1980s. And not only that, they were totally awesome people, and they stayed at my house, and I took them for pizza the next day.
Were they from Las Vegas, Chai Pig of SNFU?
Pardon?
Were they from Las Vegas?
One of them was from Las Vegas, but he got kicked out for gambling.
What about the rest of the guys?
The rest of the guys were surf guys from San Diego.
So they were a San Diego-based band then?
They were.
And you were Chai Pig of SNFU. And Chai Pig, we also played, while waiting for you, some Malibu Kens.
All right. The single, I imagine.
No, not the single. The track from the It Came From Inner Space compilation LP.
Oh, what was the name? What was the name of the song you played?
We played, let me look here. I'm going way back. Right here. Okay, we played the track Party's Over by the Malibu Kens.
Oh, yeah. I went to high school with the Malibu Ken that wrote that song.
And who were the...
It turned out to be Blake Cheetah, who became the bass god for Jerry Garry and Sons of Rhythm Orchestra.
Were the Malibu Kens also related in some way to Junior Gone Wild?
Malibu Kens became Junior Gone Wild later on. Mike McDonald was cursed with that name at birth. Mike McDonald, not to be confused with the Doobie Bro, Mike McDonald. But Mike McDonald was the singer of Malibu Kens, and he called himself Mike Sinatra at the time. And actually, Frank Sinatra's people claimed, or Mike Sinatra claims that Frank Sinatra's people claimed to break his legs if he didn't change his name. So he changed his name.
Did you do the cover artwork for the Malibu Kens 7?
No, I laid out their poster for them on the inside.
Ah, well, I'm glad you were...
In an artistic terms, it's sex bag.
Well, I'm glad you were able to clarify that, because I was saying you did the cover art, so I'm so happy that you phoned in again. And again, we're speaking here to Chai Pig from SNFU, who are playing tomorrow
night.
If
you look down in the real corner, I've signed it my real name. What was I thinking back then?
That was the Malibu Ken 7-inch, as helped put together by Chai Pig of SNFU, playing tomorrow night at the Sealand Hall, an all-ager gig. And speaking of bands getting back together, well, actually, you never really... left us, did you? Did SNFU ever break up?
We took time off. SNFU doesn't die until I die.
So was there ever a last gig? Like, was there ever a last gig? Like, oh, it's
there
over?
There was an official last gig in August of 89, and that lasted for about 2 years.
And of that August 89 lineup, who is playing tomorrow night at Sealand Hall?
Mr. Chai Pig and the original guitar player, Mark Belkey, that's been the genesis of the band the whole time, because Mark writes 80% of the music. So we're the Lennon and McCartney of punk rock.
And Chai Pig, next week, the Subhumans, the legendary Vancouver punk band, the Subhumans are
getting
back together.
Oh, I'd love to see that, but I'm going to be out of town, yeah.
Now, drumming for them will be John Card. He was in SNFU at one time, wasn't he?
Yes, he was on the If You Swear You Catch No Fish record, and he toured with us for, he was with us for about a year and a half.
Did you ever play with the original Subhumans?
Yes, we did.
Where was that? Was that in Edmonton? And
I believe we did a show with them in Edmonton, yes.
And when did you guys first play Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Chai Pig?
To my furthest recollection, it would be 1984 at the New York Ski Tour.
And what was the reception like? How did bands from Alberta go over in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada?
Well, because we were SNFU and we had our record out already, it was pretty amazing. It was really good.
But other...
Jason Priestley with Mohawk was in the audience.
You're sure of that?
I'm sure of that because he told me that in a drunken state years later.
What did you look like back then, Chai Pig of SNFU? What did you look like back then?
I had the shaved back and sides haircut, dyed the blonde with dreadlocks, and I would slash it through the air like slashing knife through butter.
The first time I heard SNFU was, believe it or not, from the It Came From The Pit compilation. I was a bit late. The It Came From The Pit compilation.
You were a late bloomer.
Released on the Psych Industries record label with the song Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. Who else has done Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me? Like Linda Ronstadt? What is that originally, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me?
It's the Warren Zevon song. Warren Zevon wrote it.
And who else has done it? SNFU has done it? I know Linda Ronstadt has done it. Do you know anybody else that has done Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me?
Not that I know of, but it's a pretty good song. It's a pretty good song, but we did it not because of Linda in her roller skates, but because of Warren. Because Warren writes great songs.
Wrote great songs. I guess he's dead
now,
unfortunately.
Great songs. He is dead. He's in the wind.
Are you going to be doing Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me tomorrow night at Seelan Hall?
That is one of the covers we haven't redone. Actually, we'll be playing no cover tunes on Saturday.
No cover tunes at all? What cover tunes have you done in past, Chai Pig of SNFU?
Uncontrollable Urge by Debo. Wild World by Cat Stevens. Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. Give Me Some Water by Eddie Money, and countless others.
Chai Pig of SNFU, another thing that's drilled into my mind has nothing to do with SNFU, it has something to do with your other band, The Wongs. When did The Wongs form?
The Wongs were a entity from 1990 to 1991, 1 year. One year program.
And you played that big, famous gig that happened at the Commodore Ballroom where it was you guys, the Wongs, the Doughboys, Nirvana, and Screaming Trees. And I think I mentioned to you this a little while back that I interviewed the Doughboys that day, and I remember they were pissed off that they had to open for Nirvana that night. What do you remember about that gig, the Wongs, Doughboys, Nirvana, Screaming Trees gig?
I remember it was pretty fun, and we smoked some weed in the back, and the Doughboys opened, and Screaming Trees headlined, but people started leaving while the Screaming Trees played, and there was a little quip of mine on stage. I said, "Stay tuned for the Toilet Trees," as opposed to the Screaming Trees, and Mr. Screaming Tree himself came up to me later, and asked me what the hell I was saying, and asked me if it was a joke, and I said, yes, it was a joke. He said, oh, I thought you had a chip on your shoulder, and I said, well, I do, but I have a full bag as well.
Ba-boom! What about the
Ba-boom!
What about the Doughboys, Chai Pig?
The Doughboys, currently residing in the Warehouse in Elfile.
Yeah, like that gig, I just will never forget that, them being really mad. They seemed like big Easterners. What do you remember about them? That's like kind of rolling into town. We're the Doughboys. We have to open for Nirvana.
I know those guys, but you know what? They were huge Nirvana fans, and I think only one of the Doughboys was against it, but the other guy was just, and Jonathan, who was the genuine songwriter of the band, the Paul McCartney of the band, he was just enamored with Nirvana. He just was honored to be with them.
Well, that's good to hear that it was only one of them that was that way. And you were Chai Pig of SNFU playing tomorrow night at Seelan Hall in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. It's all ages, doors at 7 p.m., $8 to get in. Also playing will be The Doers.
Pardon?
The Doers are playing tomorrow night.
Yes, the Doers are playing tomorrow night.
The Doers, the Winks, and you say party, we say die at Seal and All. Were you going to say something else about the Doughboys there, Chai Pig?
Keep on rocking in the free world?
No, maybe not that exactly. However, Chai Pig, how many gigs did you play at the L.A. Olympic with SNFU? That was like a giant Xbox ring.
We never played the Olympic. We played the other place. We played Fender's Ballroom, which was half the size, but just as violent.
I saw a flyer, though. It said SNFU at the Olympic. Did that gig not happen? I think it was SNFU.
That gig did not happen. You know why that gig did not happen? Because the engine fell out of our van between Vancouver and Portland. And we went back home.
Oh, no. And that was going to be a huge gig, the Dead Kennedys at the Olympic. How big were the Olympic shows at that time? They were like 3,000 or 4,000 people, weren't they?
Yeah, up there, 5,000, 6,000 people, yep.
And the
actually, we played a gig in San Diego once with the order of the lineup was this. It was Adrenaline OD, Gang Green, SNFU, and Fear. And there was 3,500 people there. And half of them were military goons.
Was it a huge pit?
It was a huge... It was.
A huge slam pit. I guess I was curious, though, Chai Pig. You were mentioning about playing Fenders, did you say? How was it violent back then for the punk rock that was being displayed in Southern California?
Well, back then it was... Because there was a lot of gangs. So there'd be like 200 members of one gang and 200 members of another gang. So there'd be like the suicidal gang, as in suicidal tendencies, and then the Triple F gang, and then the I'm in a gang.
What did they think of you guys? What did they think of Canadians, SNFU, from Edmonton, Wayne Gretzky? What did they think?
They liked us. SNFU at that time was the perfect skating soundtrack music. And we were loved and adored, so we never got beaten up. It was good.
Chai Pig of SNFU, I saw you also at the NoFX, or sorry, should I say the Me First and the Gimme Gimme's gig at Richards on Richards a while back. When did you first meet Fat Mike?
Fat Mike, actually, the first time I met him was at a show way, way back. He came to the Roxy on Hollywood Boulevard and told us that Brett Gurwitch was going to show up and offer us a record deal on Epitaph, which he did. And that was one of the first times I met him, but he phoned me up in a drunken phone call when he was a teenager and wanted SNFU to come tour with his band. And they were going to supply all the gear and travel with us. And I had no idea who the hell they were. And he was really, really drunk.
That was Fat Mike. I also saw you at the Queens of the Stone Age gig. What was your connection to the Queens of the Stone Age, Chai Pig of SNFU, playing tomorrow night at Seelan Hall?
Well, I've known Hutch, their sound man, who did their graphics and everything for about 20, 25 years. And so he introduced me to Josh Homey, or whatever the hell his name is. And, so we just hung out in the... cheese dip and things like that, and we talked about possibly doing a desert session this year.
That would be great to have you on there, Chai Pig.
Yes, I think it would represent Canada in a good way, yeah.
What would you do in the desert session? Would you just sing? Would you play something? Would you provide puppetry? What would you do, Chai Pig?
I would do some yoga workouts. I would orchestrate a yoga workout regimen and some singing, and then maybe we'll play charades later.
Chai Pig of SNFU.
Desert charades.
You're from Edmonton, Alberta. What were the punk bands on the scene in Edmonton, Alberta? I mentioned the Malibu Kens. I also played the Hot Nasties from Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah, they were a bit uppity because one of them had money. And one of them, he was into culture painting, and so the people in the punk community hated him, so he was the target of spit.
That was the Hot Nasties who we played. What was the first punk band in Edmonton to put out a 7-inch or to put out a release? What was the first punk band in Edmonton? It wasn't SNFU, was it?
No. To put out a release, I'm not sure.
There were some bands like Joey Dead and the Necrophiliacs, or the Diefenbakers.
Joey Dead and the Necrophiliacs were the Malibu Kens, actually.
Oh!
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, they were the punk version of the Malibu Kens, and then they went Malibu Kens that were popular. But the Malibu Kens actually released the single. And I think the Malibu Kens were not the first to release the single, but Mo Berg was in a band called the Modern Minds, and they were great. And he released a single. And that was probably one of the first. There was a band called the Diefenbakers as well, and a band called Legal Limit. That was really good.
How about Spider Jones? Do you remember Scenester Spider Jones?
Spider, his middle name is Yardley, and he's the son of Yardley Jones, the Edmonton Sentinel cartoonist. And he is now a contributor to political cartoons.
And was he a punker back then?
Still is. Bold and proud. Punk for life.
Chai Pig, what about Jerry? Had they put out any vinyl before they moved to Montreal?
No, it came out just their first record. Oh, yeah, the first record was out before they moved to Montreal. Then they did what I think was their best record, Battle Hymn of the Apartment, in Montreal.
Chai Pig, how hard was it to get on BYO, the record label? Like, you guys were on BYO, which at the time was pretty happening. How hard was it to get on BYO?
Actually, it was pretty easy. We met a bald-head dude named Sean Stern, who we called Penis Head. And we made friends with him, and turns out they're from Toronto. Three brothers from Toronto. And their father worked on the Amityville horror film, and henceforth they moved to L.A. and became punk rockers. But anyways, they were touring with Social Distortion on the Another State of Mind tour, and we met them then, and they asked us to contribute to a compilation they were making called Something to Believe In, which we did, and that song got a good response, Victims of the Womanizer. And so we did a whole record with them. And then that led to another record.
And they're still sending you checks to this day? Like, you're still on BYO, your back rec catalog?
Yeah, I still get, two checks a year from those people. They're very honest, and they're still the same great people.
And Chai Pig, you also set up BYO Canada. How many records did you put out on BYO Canada?
BYO Canada was set up by our manager named Debbie, who now works for Wax Trax in Chicago. And I think he put out three records. He put out the first two SNFU records and a Junior Gone Wild record called Less Art, More Pop. And that was it.
On that Something to Believe In record, was The Unwanted on that record as well? Who were The Unwanted? I noticed that your band, SNFU, who are playing tomorrow night, we're speaking here to Chai Pig from SNFU, playing tomorrow night at Ceylon Hall. I noticed that you played a lot of gigs with The Unwanted. They're from Winnipeg. What were they like? I don't really hear too much about The Unwanted.
The Unwanted were more like a political punk band, kind of metal, and they had a jock-like singer who wore too tight of clothing, much like yourself.
Baboom.
Baboom. And a baboon. And we ended up having their bass player for about 6 months. And they were a pretty good band. And actually, here's a connection: the singer's little brother Ted was a drummer, and he ended up being the drummer for SNFU for a few years on Better Than a Stick in the Eye album.
Chai Pig, being from Edmonton and being the premier band from Edmonton, how much did you play in Edmonton? Did you guys play every single weekend over and over again? Because there's a quote here from the punkhistorycanada.ca site, which is really amazing, punkhistorycanada.ca, thrashing punk band from Edmonton who made it big in the U.S. How many weekends did you waste watching Chai's antics on stage? Did you really play every weekend? Were you guys playing all the time?
No, we didn't play every weekend. We played probably twice a month in the city, but we always played around the city.
And I also found out that you played a friend of mine's house party. He had a house party. It might have been one of your early gigs. You went there, you played a house party, and then afterwards you had this SNFU stamp, and you stamped it everywhere, and it kind of got him mad that SNFU stamp was stamped everywhere. Was that common practice? You'd play a gig and then stamp the SNFU stamp everywhere?
Yeah. You have to make your mark in this world. Even if it's with indelible ink.
Chai Pig of SNFU, moving on to the 1990s, you were on Epitaph Records during the glory days, weren't you? Like, didn't you guys...
Oh, yeah.
Did you ship, like, 75,000 records, like, before the records were even in stores? Like, just the ship, like, they anticipated that. Well, is that true? Like, you just shipped quite a few right off the bat?
Yeah, we did.
What was
we did. We shipped them, and then we sold them, and then they shipped us out the door.
Did you do any tours with The Offspring at all, Chai Pig? Did you?
We played one or two shows with The Offspring. I like those guys, yep.
Was there any interesting events that happened with them, you know, during the glory days, that era of Epitaph, when records were shipping 75,000?
Not really. I went to meet Devo.
Oh,
that was cool.
Oh, so Epitaph helped you meet Devo.
Well, yes. The drummer for Bad Religion told me that Devo was housed in this lime green building down the street from the Hyatt Riot in L.A.
Oh, you went to the Devo warehouse.
Yes, and I went there because we had just made a T-shirt with a spoof of the first Devo record cover with SNFU and Devo letters. And it said, "Are we not punk?" And it had me instead of a Chi-Chi Rivera, it was Chai-Chai Rivera. And I pretended I was a delivery boy, and I said, "Hello, I have a parcel for Mark Mother's Ball, please." And they let me in the building.
And then once in the building, what happened, Chai? Did you go crazy?
I went crazy, and I wet my pants. And I whipped it, and I whipped it good. And when I whipped it good, Mark Mothersbaugh introduced me to his brother and a couple of the band members, and he gave me a half-hour tour, and I walked out with Devo T-shirts and a Devo video.
Do you still have that stuff?
I still have that stuff.
Chai Pig of SNFU, why is Salt Lake City a Salt Lake City?
Because some goon punched me in the face during a song called I Forget, but I didn't forget. I remember that one, because it hurt.
Had that happened before? Like, I would imagine you'd been roughed up quite a bit over the years. Like, what made Salt Lake...
Oh, yeah, you've seen me, right? I've been punched a few times.
Well, just from those huge slam pits, etc., in the early days, especially
yes.
Like the Olympics and stuff. Why Salt Lake City particularly? What made that guy do that?
I think it's because he was a Mormon and he just wanted to break out of his passive past. No, what happened was we threw his friend off stage and he didn't like the fact that his friend was thrown off stage, so he punched me in the face. But our big roadie at the time, Gentleman Jim, threw him out the door and the fellow was chased down the street by fellow punk rockers and then apprehended by police later on.
Well, that's somebody kind of being mean to you, and you're a nice person, Chai. You help out band.
No, I'm not.
You helped out the band Dioxin. Who are the band Dioxin?
Dioxin?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're killing me. I can't remember.
I think there was some European metal band, Dioxin. I think you hooked them up with Gubby.
Yes, that's possible.
And nowadays, Chai Pig, aside from playing tomorrow night at Sealand Hall, and we're speaking here to Chai Pig from SNFU, you're playing really interesting gigs. You played Tofino? Did you play Tofino?
I played Tofino, yes.
And how was that?
It was good. I was wearing a wetsuit, like the guy in Living Color.
You were wearing a wetsuit on stage?
Like the guy in Living Color. Remember Living Color?
I missed that.
You don't remember Living Color?
Oh, I remember the show. I missed that particular episode, though.
Oh. No. The band.
Oh, the band Living Color. Okay.
Yes. The guy used to wear wetsuits on stage.
Yes.
That was the look.
I thought that was spandex.
No, it was a body glove wetsuit in New York. Because there's a lot of surfing in New York.
Do you remember the band 24/7 Spies?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I like them better than In Living Color.
Well, the band was called Living Color.
I know.
The show was called In Living Color.
I know. I still like them better than In Living Color.
Of course.
And Chai Pig, coming up, aside from tomorrow night's gig at Sealand Hall, you have some Quebec gigs coming up. Those should be pretty interesting. Where are you playing there, and what sort of response are you getting in Quebec? It's pretty amazing there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. We're playing, actually, we're the Hangover Band for Saturday. We're playing at 1:30 in the morning, and we're the token English-speaking band, and the rest are French, with the exception of Joan Jett is going to be playing that night. So I'm going to be loving rock and roll.
Where is that? Where is this going to be happening? Is this Quebec City? And what sort of event?
No. It's if you check out the SNFU website, all the dates are on the website there, on the itinerary.
Is it like an outdoor gig? What's the setup?
It's a festival. It's a traveling festival, complete with puppets. It's like La French Woodstock, Stock le Wood.
Well, thank you very much for phoning into the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show here today, Chai Pig from SNFU. Really appreciate it. People should check you out tomorrow night at the Sealand Hall in North Vancouver, British Columbia,
yeah,
Canada, with the Winx, You Say Party, We Say Die, and the Doers. That's an all-ages show tomorrow night at Sealand Hall. $8 to get in, 7 p.m. Now, we're going to end the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show here today with the song Grave Digger. What can you tell the people about Grave Digger here, Chai Pig?
Grave Digger is about a guy who digs graves, and he digs it greatly.
All right, well, thanks so much, Chai Pig. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
I would like to say... That's about it.
All right, Chai Pig, thanks so much, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
Thank you. is a box. He's a great day.